Thank you for that warm welcome, and I'm very glad to be here today. I know many of you from past experience at Timbercrest, parents, friends, and Lincolnshire has always been a great supporter of Timbercrest, just through your gifts and your support and your prayers, and through the leadership that you've shared with us. We've had several board members from your church, and very good people that have helped us govern Timbercrest in the right way and helping us to succeed. So I'm very pleased to be here this morning. I did bring a few materials. They're on the table in the back if you want to have a take some home with you and get another little glimpse of Timbercrest and what we're like. You're very welcome to take those. Recently, I had a conversation with a woman who was interested in working in long-term care. Her experience, her career was quite varied at this point, but she went to school and she received a degree in public health administration, and she was thinking about getting into long-term care administration. So I sat down with her and I talked about what the job entails, what all is involved, and what she might expect. But in doing so, it made me think back to my first days in long-term care, what things were like then, and what things I've learned and things that I've learned over the years. I began my career in long-term care as an orderly, as a direct caregiver. That was in Minnesota, and I got to Indiana because I attended Concordia Senior College here in Fort Wayne in the late 60s and early 70s. I was going to be a Lutheran minister, so I thank you for picking out the Mighty Fortress Is Our God. That's almost like worshiping in my Lutheran church, so thank you for that. But I began my career as an orderly, and two of the responsibilities then and now are to protect residents from falling and wandering. It's called elopement now. And back then, we did that through the use of restraints. I cringe when I say that and when I think of that. But our job was to restrain an at-risk resident to prevent them from getting up and falling or getting up and wandering away. There were arm restraints and leg restraints and waist restraints and restraints to be used when sitting in a chair and restraints to be used in bed. And as much as I hate to say it, I was good at it. I could restrain a resident so they could not get up and wander and fall or wander away. Another responsibility like today was feeding residents. However, back then, force feeding was acceptable. Holding a resident's nose closed so that they would open their mouth so that you could give them food and give them drink and nutrition, that was okay. That was more than okay. That was expected. And I hate to say that. Back then, we didn't have Alzheimer's disease. We had hardening of the arteries, and we had senility, and we had senile dementia. Some of the more difficult residents with that diagnosis were restrained, as I mentioned. And if they weren't restrained physically, they were restrained with medication. They received a strong narcotic that knocked them out and controlled them. The narcotic was a chemical restraint. Back when I started, wards were commonplace. Four or more residents in the same relatively small accommodation. And the bathrooms were probably down the hall. Make no mistake, the care that we gave back then, at least my opinion, the care that we gave back then was loving care, coming from a spirit of kindness and compassion, but it was also state of the art. It was state of the art care. But it was cruel when compared to today's standards. Restraints are now a thing of the past. They are rarely used, if at all. They may be used in special situations, but just for a short duration. Now, residents are encouraged to eat with verbal cues and with attractive meals and better dining settings. But if they choose not to eat, that is their decision. Residents are not forcibly fed. Now we have a better understanding of residents with cognitive impairment. We have special programming for them and special housing arrangements. Now, except in the rarest of situations, there's probably some still out there, there are no wards, and private rooms for each resident is becoming the norm. Things have changed. Boy, have things changed. And for the better. Another reason I had these thoughts of the past, and when I was speaking with that woman, and I began to think about the people that Timbercrest serves, the residents of Timbercrest, residents who specifically are faced with the probability or the likelihood of needing 24-hour care in what we refer to as our healthcare center. These are people who face the thought of impending health care on a regular basis. As we get older, we face increasing health concerns. We're not as young as we once were. We're not as healthy as we once were. And when we look into the future, we only see more of the same. We see worsening health, and we envision a stay in a healthcare center, a long-term care center, a nursing home, and it's not pleasant, to say the very least. In fact, it's downright scary. I'm afraid this doesn't feel like a very comforting message this morning. But the Bible speaks to this, and it was shared this morning in John 21. This follows Jesus' resurrection, and he appeared to the disciples, and he is speaking directly to Peter. This is called the reinstatement of Peter, where Jesus asks Peter three times if he loves him more than these. Does he truly love him? Peter answers three times, "Yes, Lord, you know that I do." And each of the three times, Jesus tells him to feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, then the last time Jesus says that, he goes on to say, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Let me reread those last lines. When you were young, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you were old, you'll stretch out your hands, someone else will dress you, and they'll lead you where you do not want to go. Some people say that was shared to indicate the kind of death by which Peter will glorify God. But I draw a different conclusion from that. When I read this, I think about the care of the elderly in the time of Jesus. People surely got old. Surely people did have health issues. People did become frail and need assistance and rely on someone else to dress them and feed them and very likely, as Jesus said, lead them where they did not want to go. From that scripture, I've reflected upon how we, Timbercrest, cares for dependent residents. And I think upon how our residents think about our health care center. I tried to put myself in their position, and I found myself becoming fearful. It's not unusual to hear someone say, "I don't ever want to go to health care," or "I don't ever want to go to a nursing home." I'm confident that for some, the comment stems from being afraid of going to healthcare. This may be a fear of getting poor care. It may be a fear of having to rely on someone else, being totally dependent upon others. And as Jesus said, having someone lead you where you don't want to go. It may also be a fear of, this is the last step before I die. All of those fears are real, and all of those fears are justifiable. Regarding the fear of getting poor care, that's where I have a little influence. I and the rest of our good staff, we can and do work hard to make sure that the care we provide is good care. The inspections we receive from state and federal governments and the comments we hear from residents and family members confirm that we are giving good care. A few years ago, we did a project where we got rid of our semi-private accommodations. Semi-private is kind of a funny word. Semi-private meaning two people, but there was no ounce of privacy in semi-private. It should be called not private. But now we have mostly private accommodations, and we have only four accommodations for two people, and those are most often used by husband and wife. All the good things that we do, in spite of that, healthcare can and is a real fear for many. Interestingly, I recently heard a resident say, I no longer fear going to healthcare. This resident was in healthcare for a couple of months. She was there for rehab and experienced firsthand the care that was given there. She received good care, and now that fear is gone. Been there, done that, and that piece of fear is gone for her. But she still may have other fears. The fear of being totally dependent upon someone else, relying on relative strangers, may remain. And the fear of being that much closer to death surely remains. These are real and understandable fears. I think these may be the greatest fears we all, and especially older adults, face. Older adults have been through the normal fears of life, the fears of whether or not you're going to be liked as a teenager, the fear of finding a soulmate, the fear of finding a job or career, the fear when we have children and the risks that they will face and the challenges they face, and we fear for them, and we fear for our financial security. There's many more. We've been there and we've done those fears, and to a great extent, those fears are gone. So there's not much left to be afraid of, but fear is still a very real and present issue. But there is good news. We have a professional that can help with those fears. Just as Timbercrest has professional caregivers in the healthcare to eliminate the fear of receiving poor care, we also have a professional caregiver in our Creator God. The psalmist reflects upon this in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and the foam and the mountains quake with their surging. And might I add, though I may have to move to healthcare, to a long-term care facility. In the midst of all these tragedies and threats, God is our ever-present help in trouble. In Psalm 27, we read, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of what shall I be afraid?" Psalm 34, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." And of course, the very familiar words of the 23rd Psalm. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Growing old and advanced age surely puts one in the shadow of death. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus leaves disciples with these very words, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." In 1 Peter 5, we are encouraged to cast all our anxiety on him because he cares for us. And finally, in Luke 12:22, and following verses, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest?'" We all believe in our loving God and Creator. We all know that we live under his watchful eye. We all know that he is a caring God and only wants what is best for us. We know that he wants to help us. But we also know we are human and often faint of heart. Our faith wavers and we fall victim to fear. We know that bad things happen to good people and faithful people, and it scares us. We live in a scary, sinful world, and we are frightened. But God is ever present, even in the scariest times of our lives. He is with us when we face advanced age, increased frailty, serious illness, even when we face death. So why are we afraid? Why am I afraid? Because it's natural. It's who we are. Our lives are filled with risks and threats of which we are naturally afraid. At the same time, our lives are filled with the presence of God, who works to counter those fears, to comfort us, and to give us peace. We have the opportunity to minimize those fears through prayer, through regular conversations with him who protects and comforts us. And this is what God encourages us to do. He encourages us through the words of Paul in his letter to the Philippians, which was read earlier. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." We've come a long way in our care for older adults. While we've continued a tradition of kindness and compassion, we've added the elements of improved clinical care. We're smarter. We know better. We know more than we did 40 years plus ago. Science and medicine and even regulations have resulted in better care for older adults. But while we've come a long way in our care for older adults, we are still the same human beings we were 40, 50, 100 years ago. We're still afraid of growing older, afraid of permanent infirmities, afraid of moving into a nursing home, afraid of being totally dependent upon others, afraid of having someone lead us where we do not want to go, afraid of the ever-approaching time of our death. But we are humans, and our fears have not changed, but neither has God. Fortunately for us, our Creator God and the God we read about in the Bible, the God of our forefathers, is still the God who is with us every day. The same caring, protective, comforting, refuge God is with us at this moment, and he is with us in the moments of our fear. May we relax in that knowledge. May we be comforted. May all our fears be vanquished. Fear is real. It's part of our lives. but God is likewise real and part of our lives. Let us open ourselves up to the loving protection God promises us and live a life in which all our fears are given to Him. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present our requests to God. In the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, the peace of God that transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble, you know we are sinful and weak. You know we are not strong enough to face life without fear. We lay those fears before you today. Lift them from us, restore us, guide us, protect us, strengthen us, comfort us. And just as you comfort and help us, may we be agents of your love and reach out to others to introduce them to you so they too might find refuge in you. Thank you for all you have done for us and have promised to do. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.